Psalm chapter 85, first three nights of our services, we're basing our message or starting our messages from here. We have a series that we're looking at. We'd like to read the sixth verse here. Psalms 85, verse 6. Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? As we saw last night, the psalmist didn't say, can you revive us again? He says, will you? And I want to remind us again tonight and again tomorrow night that the question has nothing to do with God's ability. Folks, God is the same God He's always been. God is able to revive. God is able to still save. God is able to set our churches on fire. God is able to fix what's wrong with our homes. God is able to fix what's wrong in our individual lives. God's ability is not diminished. He's the same God He's always been.
That's right. Amen.
The question that the psalmist asks and the question that we must ask, not only during this week of service, but constantly, we need to be praying and asking God, God, will You revive? Will You bless? Will You stir us? Will You make Your presence known? God, help us to be praying and asking God, will He?
Yes.
I believe with all my heart that I can say with all the authority of the Scripture, the answer to that question, will He, is yes.
Yes.
If we're willing to meet His demands. If we're willing to meet His demands. I believe with all my heart that God wants to bless us. God wants to meet with us. Not in the way that is being claimed on television and radio with all of these phony evangelists, but in spirit and in truth, God wants to be with us every time our churches meet. He wants to bless Olmsted Baptist Church. He wants to be here when you're here. And He wants to be with West Milton Baptist Church. He wants to be with every church represented here that is a true New Testament Baptist church. That's why He put Him here, that we might meet with Him and worship Him and praise Him.
Amen.
God wants to revive.
Yes.
God wants us just as close as we can stand. And when we can't stand it, He'll give us His grace and His Spirit so we can get even a little bit closer
That's right.
We want to.
That's right.
Yes, that's pretty bold. What's John 10:10 say? Jesus said, I have come that they might have life. But not just life, that they might have it more abundantly. God wants us revived. God wants us walking right beside Him. Ephesians 3 and verse 20, it says, Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He's able to do far above anything we could even imagine. He's able. Philippians 4 and verse 19 says, But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
All our needs. Most importantly, our spiritual needs.
Yes, sir. That's right.
God wants us to know revival. But folks, let us not limit revival to a once or a twice a year thing.
That's right. Amen.
We ought to want revival every Lord's Day.
Every service. Amen.
Because we go out into this world and we spend 6 days in the devil's dominion. And we ought to want revival and God's blessings every Lord's Day. And call me a fanatic, but I believe we ought to long for revival on Wednesday nights.
Amen, brother. Amen.
God wants to revive. But as we said last night, many things in Scripture comes with a big if. They're conditional. And last night and tonight and tomorrow night, we're looking at three key areas in our churches that we must set in order if we want God to bless.
Amen.
Last night we looked at the message of the Lord's church. If our message is not right, and if our message isn't Jesus Christ, pure and simple, unadulterated, unaltered, if our message in every aspect of our ministries is not Jesus Christ, God is not going to honor it, God's not going to bless.
Amen.
Our message must be right.
Amen, brother.
Tonight we're going to look at the mechanics of a church. Our mechanics have to be right. What do I mean by mechanics? By mechanics I mean the inner workings of a church.
Amen, bro.
The inner workings of a church. You know, a clock can appear most beautiful on the outside. But if things aren't working inside, what good's the clock? You can wear a Rolex watch, which incidentally, this is not a Rolex. You can wear a Rolex watch and impress everybody by wearing it and flash that name Rolex at everybody, but if that watch doesn't keep time, it's useless, isn't it?
Right.
It doesn't matter how pretty it is on the outside. You're better off with the Timex if the Rolex doesn't work.
Right.
The same is true with the church. It's not enough just to look right. It's not enough just to have all the appearances that the world judges success by. We must have the mechanics. We must have the inner workings of our churches in order if we want God to bless.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what the world thinks about us. If the inner workings of a church are not functioning properly, God steps back.
Amen, brother.
This may come as a shock to some of you. I hope not. But you know our God's not desperate.
That's right, brother. Amen.
Doesn't need anything you have to throw at Him.
That's right. Amen, brother.
Doesn't need anything we can do for Him. He privileges us in His grace and His mercy to be able to serve Him and worship Him.
Yes, sir.
And if we're not doing it right, He can step back and say, I don't need that. He can reject everything a church does if it's not His specifications.
That's right, brother.
Isn't that what happened in the Old Testament when they built the tabernacle and the temple?
Amen.
God said, do it this way, and this way. The people didn't say, that's too narrow, we'll do it our way. They did it God's way.
Amen.
Same is true in our churches. Our mechanics, our inner workings must be functioning properly.
Yes.
I believe when you talk about the church and the inner workings, you might as well start at the top. Talk about the pastor's relationship to the church.
Amen, bro.
And don't think I come down to Olmsted, Kentucky and preach this and not at my own church, because I've preached this exact same message at our own home church. Let's talk about the pastor's work, the pastor's relationship to the church. Woodrow Wilson once quoted his father as having said, the Christian minister must be something before he can do anything. I like that. Our colleges and our seminaries are producing men who are nothing, who know nothing, but are trying to do something. And it doesn't work.
Amen, bro. Amen, bro.
We need men who are something, who know something, and who have the hand of God upon them, and who are more concerned with pleasing God than bringing about great results and building great numbers.
Amen, bro. Amen, bro.
not just Christianity, but Baptist churches are in a mess today because pastors don't know their jobs and the churches don't know what the pastor's job is. A pastor is not known by sanctimonious appearance or distinct clothing. He's not known by pious words. He's not known by saying praise the Lord at the beginning of every sentence. And he's not known by saying amen at the end of every sentence.
That's right. That's right.
Man of God takes a whole lot more than that.
Right.
Man of God must be unselfish. Man of God must be humble. He must be cheerful and yet he must be serious. Pastors many times are criticized for being too serious. I don't know if you can be too serious in the ministry.
Amen, brother.
You're dealing with eternal things.
Amen.
You're working in the only institution in the world that Christ shed His blood for. Serious job. Serious job. Pastors must be patient. They must be sensitive. They must be godly. They must be dedicated. They must be determined. It's a tough job being a pastor. That's why most wear out long before people in other careers wear out. Because it's not a career, it's a calling.
Amen.
And it's an awesome responsibility.
Amen, brother. Amen.
I believe if you want to summarize what a pastor's responsibility is to his church, you can do it in four words.
Yes.
The four words that I would choose is example, preach, feed, and oversight.
Amen, bro.
Those four words just about cover it all.
That's right.
Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12, "Be thou an example." To who? To the church. To the members. To the sheep you shepherd.
Amen, bro. Amen.
We've got too many pastors in our churches today, and yes, sadly to say, even in Baptist churches, they want to get up and preach. They want to draw a paycheck, but they don't want to lead and they don't want to live before their people.
Amen, brother.
A pastor should be ashamed of himself to preach and expect anything out of his people that he himself isn't doing and leading the way in.
Amen, brother.
Be an example. 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul said, "Preach the word." Preach the word. Don't tickle their ears. Don't entertain them. Don't give them what they want. Give it to them even when they hate you for giving it to them. Preach the word, Timothy.
Amen, bro.
And we need Baptist preachers that are willing to stand up. And even if it means their jobs, even if it means their being... Excuse me. Boy, I'm glad that was empty. We need preachers who are willing to get up and preach the word no matter what the cost. No matter what the cost. Acts 20, verse 28, we're told to feed the flock of God, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which He gave His blood for. You can tell sad stories and you can bring tears to people's eyes. You can put on docudramas. You can have what we've been talking about a little bit in the last day or so. You can have contemporary services. But if a pastor isn't taking the Word of God, which is the food for the sheep, and feeding the sheep, he's not worth 2 cents, and he ought to throw his degree out the window and get in a different line of work.
Amen.
God's people need feeding.
Amen. Amen.
And this does not go without saying, because when you look at Baptist churches and how haywire they're going, you have to question, have they been fed over the years? Have they received the food?
Amen.
Did they get it when it was served? Or was it served at all? 1 Peter tells pastors to take the oversight thereof. You know, a pastor that does that is criticized.
That's right.
That pastor's got to have his nose in everything. That pastor's got to get his finger in everything we do. We can't do anything in our church without the pastor knowing about it. Well, that's his job. If you want to do something that the pastor ought not to know about, it better be a surprise party, and you better be giving him a big gift.
Amen.
I think that's the only time it's justifiable.
Oh, me.
I not only want to know about everything, but I want to be in approval of everything that goes on at the West Milton Baptist Church. That may be narrow, but as long as I'm the one going to stand before the Lord and give an account, that's how narrow it's got to be. It's pastor's job.
Amen. Yes, sir. Sounds like me.
Oversight. Define oversight.
Amen, brother.
That means looking over the whole operation in worldly terms. Any of you who are in supervisory roles know that you're expected to take the oversight, whether it be of your department or your company, whatever it is, you're expected to look at it, everything. Not to be in the corner with your eyes closed, hoping things work well without you.
That's right.
Many times preachers are like the three little monkeys who see no evil, hear no evil. Pastor can't sit idly by with his eyes closed and his ears shut.
Amen, brother.
He's got to have his pulse on everything that goes on in a church.
Absolutely.
We've got too many pastors and too many Baptists, sad to say, that have crushed into the pressures of numbers, crushed into the pressures of results. We have crushed under the pressure of success, who have forgotten to be an example.
Amen, brother.
Who stopped preaching a long time ago, who aren't feeding, and aren't taking the oversight. Now let's second of all tonight look at the church's relationship to the pastor. Pastor has a relationship and a responsibility to the church, every member of that church, and every member of the church has a responsibility towards him. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy 5, verse number 17. It says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the Scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. You know, in the context of this Scripture, that term double honor has to do with compensation.
Yes.
And you know, there are still many churches, I dare say many Baptist churches, who still believe in the practice of keeping the preacher as poor as a church mouse and begging for every crumb he gets. And churches with that mentality will one day stand before God and give an account for not treating God's men right. Tell you what, Brother Harvey speaks in the most highest and glowing ways about this church and how you take care of him. That's the way it ought to be in every Baptist church.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother.
I tell you what, the people of West Milton Baptist Church have taken care of me. And I believe they love me.
Yes, sir.
But it's not that way across the board.
That's right.
People have got it into their heads that preachers come a dime a dozen. If we starve this one to death, well, we'll just get us another one. And you know, it's getting thin, and there aren't that many others to get. You starve a preacher to death, you might not have a preacher for a while. You believe what you want to. I believe Jesus is coming again. The closer we get to the coming of Jesus Christ, the thinner and thinner the ranks are going to get. And we ought not to throw up our hands and say, woe is me, God's not calling very many men. We ought to realize He's not calling very many men because the end is getting close and He's not going to need them. God's men are worthy of being taken care of. We won't get into verse number 19, but you know, you ought not to even make an accusation against a man of God unless you handle it right. It says in verse 19, you have to do it with two or three witnesses.
Yes, sir.
There are some pastors preaching in some churches, every service someone walks up and sticks their finger in the face and says, I didn't like that. Don't preach that no more. God's man better be handled with kid gloves, because God's man is God's anointed, just as the anointed were in the Old Testament.
Amen, brother.
Don't you touch God's anointed unless you're willing to pay the price.
That's right, brother.
And folks, I'm very sad to be able to stand before you and say I've seen many people attack Baptist preachers. I've seen their lives ruined. And you can say, well, it's not a result of that, and Bible says you reap what you sow. I've seen people treat God's men and God's churches recklessly, and I've seen them pay dearly for it.
Yes, sir.
Dearly. You look over the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Hebrews 13, verse number 17. Read verse 7, says the same thing, but for time, let's read verse 17. It says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. A lot of four-letter words in there, isn't there? Obey. Verse 7. Rule. Unpopular, but nonetheless Bible.
That's right. That's right.
We've got Baptist church members who are saying, I'll not do what that preacher tells me. He's not going to run my life. He gets up and preaches. That may be his opinion, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to submit. You better watch it.
That's right. Amen.
Sure, there are abuses in the ministry.
Right.
And I'm sure there's probably very few preachers who stand up and say they haven't been abusive. It's a learning process. You don't come into this thing good at it. There are exceptions. But nonetheless, for order, God has set His church under the supervision of pastors.
That's right, brother.
And we're to honor them, we're to obey them, and we are to submit to them. Because one day they're going to stand before the Lord. And you know, I interpret verse 17 as saying that pastors are going to get up, they're going to give an account of their church members, and some of the church members they give account to, they're going to do it with joy. Lord, Sister so-and-so was such a pleasure to pastor. Brother so-and-so was always there when I needed him. Lord, that member was such a blessing to me. But sometimes the pastor's going to have to get up and say, Lord, they never even came to church. Lord, they fought me tooth and nail. Lord, they criticized everything. Lord, they were unfaithful. Lord, they were immoral. You think it's being easy? It's easy being a pastor? You want to switch places with your pastor come Judgment Day? Awesome responsibility. 1 Peter 5 talks about, as we said earlier, taking the oversight. Church members need to follow their pastor. They need to trust their pastor. It talks about leading. It says do it willingly. The pastor willingly, you've got to have willing followers, don't you? Look over there at 1 Peter and let's just notice the fourth verse. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 4. 1 Peter 5 verse 4 says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear... You know who that chief shepherd is? One we talked about last night.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the head of the body. He shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, I understand that we don't really find the term under-shepherd in the Bible. But for lack of a better term, that's what pastors are. Christ is the chief shepherd. Pastors are designated under Him.
Amen, brother. Amen.
So if not in literal words, it's there in principle.
Amen, brother. That's right.
And I think a lot of Baptist churches around our country need to remember who the pastor works for.
That's right, brother. Amen, brother.
Pastors work for Jesus Christ.
Amen, brother.
Because our pastor don't have to submit to nobody. Sure does.
Yes, sir.
Has to submit to the Lord if he wants the Lord's blessing. Because that's who he works for. Baptist churches better be careful about ever taking that paycheck the pastor gets and waving it under his nose and says, now, if you want this, you better see things our way. I've told my church, and I'm not ashamed to tell my church, I don't work for them. They don't pay me to preach. God called me to preach, and they pay me that I might be free to preach. And that's all there is to it.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen.
So they work for.
Amen, brother.
Then let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, and we must move along. We talk about the inner workings of a church, the mechanics of a church. The pastor must be everything God wants him to be. Church members must treat their pastor the way God wants them to do. And then third of all, let's look at church members' responsibility to each other. You don't hear much about this anymore. But you know that every member of the Olmsted Baptist Church owes a lot to every other member of the Olmsted Baptist Church?
Yes, sir, brother. Amen, brother.
I tell you what, the pastor can be doing his job and the church can be treating the pastor right. But if the members are fussing and fighting and not getting along, Baptist churches aren't going very far.
That's right, brother. Amen. Amen, brother.
And usually the first two things are in order. Most splits you hear about are just that.
That's right.
Church member falling out with church member, then the choosing of sides, and then the civil war.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
I like what 1 Corinthians 12 tells us. Let's begin reading with verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. I believe that the Spirit of God works, takes the Word,
Amen.
Convicts, saves,
leads.
And then leads,
Amen. Leads. Amen.
The believers to submit to baptism,
Amen, brother.
Church membership, and churches are built by the Spirit of God.
Amen, brother. Amen.
That's how it's done. Verse 14, for the body is not one member but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where is the hearing?
Yes.
The whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Now listen to verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. God, our Lord, is building His church.
Amen.
And His churches. And I tell you what, we need to remind ourselves every once in a while, no member of our church is unimportant.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother.
The person who might lead the singing, might play the piano, might teach a Sunday school class is no more needed by a church than the one who can only come and sit on the pew and listen to the preaching of God's Word. If God put them there, every member is important.
Amen, brother.
And we need to be very careful not to exalt ourselves above others because of the fact that we have a position.
Amen, brother.
Your body is not complete if you remove all your toes. They may be little pieces, but your body needs them. They're there that you might be complete.
Amen, brother. Amen.
And We may classify them as little toes, but every member of our church is precious. You know, it didn't take any more of the blood of Christ to save the preacher than it did to save the member who struggles for health reasons just to be able to come to church.
That's right, brother. That's right.
We owe a great deal to one another.
Yes, sir.
Pride is an ugly thing, but it creeps into our churches.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It's very easy to think, well, I'm the right arm. Church really needs me. But old sister so-and-so, she can't do nothing. Old brother so-and-so, he doesn't do nothing compared to me. If he's a member, he's blood-bought.
Amen.
Precious and needed.
Yes, sir.
And we can't be selective in who we love.
That's right.
So many games are being played in Baptist churches today. I tell you what, if the membership doesn't appreciate each other as they should,
yes,
treat each other as they should, God's not going to bless churches.
That's right.
He's not going to do it.
Amen.
The Bible tells us to have the same love.
One for another.
Mm-hmm. One for another. Look over to the book of Luke, chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse number 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible that offenses, but that offenses will come. You know, when you're dealing with people, you're going to have problems. You can't get two people together without eventually having problems.
That's right.
That's what marriage is all about.
Yeah.
You can't get people together without problems. That's what Jesus is saying here.
Right.
It is impossible, but that offenses will come.
Amen.
But listen to the warning. But woe unto him through whom they come.
Yes.
Down through the years I have known, I have seen, and I have heard of some mean Baptist church members who can't be lived with and yet refuse to go away. Like God has placed them in the church to make everybody else's life miserable, and they do their job well.
That's right. That's right. Amen. I've met them.
But woe unto him. I tell you what, we ought to treat one another in our churches.
Amen.
Like they were the President of the United States.
Amen, bro.
Because the average Baptist church member could do a better job than our President.
Yeah.
There's no charge for that political announcement.
Yeah.
That wasn't a political announcement.
Okay.
Verse 2, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he be cast into the sea. Than that he should offend one of these little ones. I'm going to just transliterate a little bit. It'd be better to be dead than to do harm to one of God's people. Wouldn't that revolutionize? Wouldn't that revive our churches? If Baptist church members got the right perspective towards each other.
Amen.
We're so quick to give our opinions. We're so quick with our cutting remarks. We're so quick to criticize and break someone to pieces because they don't line up to us. Where's the love of Christ?
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if you repent, forgive him.
That's right.
And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. get a group of people together and you call it a church, you're going to have problems. You know, when those problems arise, what we ought to do is instantly forgive. But also, forget. And I know that's difficult and probably, humanly speaking, impossible. God didn't give us an erase mode. But we need to forgive and then for the rest of our life refuse to ever act based upon the memory of the fact that they hurt us.
That's right, brother. Amen.
If you blow off the handle and you chew somebody out because 2 years ago they did this to you or they did that to you, believe what you want to, you never really forgave.
That's right, brother. That's right. Yeah.
Because when God forgives us for Jesus' sake, He takes our sins, puts them behind Him in the sea of His forgetfulness, and He'll never say, "I know what you did when you was 12 years old. It's all under the blood."
Amen,
brother. And so are the faults of our brothers and sisters.
Amen, brother. Amen.
And I'm not talking about turning our heads and ignoring sin. You know, you preach things like this and people think, well, that cancels out church discipline. No, it doesn't. If you really love, you must practice church discipline. I'm saying there's just too many games going on in Baptist church ranks that are hindering our Baptist churches.
Yes, sir.
Too many quirks and schisms and personalities. Look at Philippians. Chapter 2. I've seen this, but I must confess, don't see a whole lot of it in Baptist churches. But it's here. Philippians 2, verse number 3. It says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind," humility. Aren't we told that if we humble ourselves into the hand of God, He'll lift us up? Aren't we talking about wanting revival, wanting God to bless us?
Amen, bro.
Humility's a good step in the right direction. "But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." Who's He talking to? The Philippian church. Who's He talking to? Olmsted Baptist Church, West Milton Baptist Church. Wherever you find a New Testament Baptist church, He's speaking to them. Each member ought to go back to that old golden rule of treating one another the way they want to be treated.
Amen, bro.
I don't care how you are spiritually right now. In our lives, we all must confess there are times when we've taken the upper seat, we've wanted the preeminence, we've been a little harsh, a little arrogant, and we didn't esteem the other. That's what it's about. It's foreign to society's thinking, but Jesus says, treat people like you want to be treated. That's the way to success. Romans 12, verse 15. Romans 12, verse 15. "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." Are we that in tune to one another in our churches that when a brother or sister in our church is brokenhearted and weeping, that our heart breaks, and not crocodile tears, but real tears of sympathy and understanding?
Amen, brother.
Are we touched in our churches with each other's hurts? Do we rejoice with those that do rejoice? Or are we jealous?
Yeah.
Oh, brother so-and-so got a brand new Cadillac. He deserved that Cadillac like a hole in the head. Why don't I get a new Cadillac? If you drove a Cadillac to church, forgive me.
Yeah, I don't want payments.
Let's say he paid cash for it.
Okay, all right.
That's a little harder to keep from being covetous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But by God's grace, it's possible.
That's right.
Tell you what, someone drives up to church in a brand new car, I'm excited for them.
Yes, sir.
That's the way it's supposed to be. Petty jealousies and this competition that goes on in many Baptist churches is right out of the pits of hell.
Amen, bro.
I think Sister Harvey made the statement Monday night that the devil always seems to destroy us from the inside out. And we'll shut the door to the devil if we learn within our churches to treat each other as we should.
Amen, bro.
We need to love, be patient, forgive one another, encourage one another, and all of us look to Jesus.
Amen, bro.
And then last of all, let's talk about our relationship to those that are without.
Yes, amen.
You know, there are many Baptist churches who are satisfied with what they believe. They're very sanctimonious about what they believe. And they portray an attitude that says, us four,
no more.
No more.
Amen.
Shut the door.
Amen, bro. Amen, bro. That's right.
God didn't put us in this earth for that.
Amen, brother. Amen.
He put His Baptist churches in this society to be lighthouses.
Amen, brother. Witnesses. Amen.
And when visitors come into our doors, we ought to treat them like royalty has arrived and let them know that we care and we love them and we want them to know the message of Jesus Christ.
Amen, brother. Preach that a while. We need that.
Amen. Folks, I have seen in Baptist churches, visitors come in and sit down.
Who's that?
Worse. Church members come up and say,
that's mine.
Or walk up and say, what's he sitting there for? That's where I always sit. Who cares where you sit?
Amen.
Rejoice that visitor's there. Walk up and say, thanks for being here.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Jesus loves me. I love you. And we want you to feel welcomed here.
Amen, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
I tell you what, it's not always easy to apply. When the snot-nosed little neighborhood kid comes into church,
right. Amen, preach it, brother.
We ought not to fluff them off as unimportant.
Amen, brother.
We ought to be just as glad for that little snot-nosed little 8-year-old boy that walks into the doors of our church and be glad we have the opportunity to tell them about Jesus Christ. Irregardless of the fact that little snot-nosed 8-year-old boy will never put nothing in the collection plate.
That's right.
He needs Jesus Christ just like the worst sinner on Skid Row.
Amen, brother.
I tell you what, the pastor can be everything he's supposed to be. The church can treat the pastor like they're supposed to. All the church members can treat each other like they're supposed to. But if we have no concern for the world outside, we've missed the boat.
Amen, brother. Now, there you go.
And this idea in many Baptist churches of supporting missionaries and then puffing up your chest saying, we support missionaries all over the world, but you're not doing anything in your own community.
Amen. Amen, bro.
Church there at Jerusalem was told to start at home.
Yes, sir.
Start at home. I don't know how it is here, but in West Melton, we're a small community, about 4,500 people. But we happen to be situated on a state route. one of the busiest state routes in Ohio, State Route 48. And from time to time, we get the dirty and the smelly visitor that shows up in our services for one thing and one thing only, a handout. It's so easy to become calloused.
That's right.
And it's so easy to say, there's another one. And it's so easy to want to just say, leave us alone.
That's right. That's
true. But they need Jesus Christ.
Amen, bro. Just like anybody else.
We have so many. There, say, probably not a month go by. We don't have one to two. And we refuse to hand out money. We're not a charity. But our policy is, if they come and ask them for help, we'll get them all the food we can get them. And if they're really in need, they'll accept the food.
Amen, bro.
If that's not good enough and all they want is money, most of the times they'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's right.
But irregardless, we try to witness to them. And if that isn't possible with time frames, we try to give them a Bible.
Amen, bro.
And we try to give them some gospel tracts. Soaks, they're lost.
Amen.
They need Jesus Christ.
Amen.